Hello everybody, welcome to Amazing You. I am your host. My name is Dr. Rani Thanakodi. I am a certified clinical hypnotherapist using rapid transformational therapy. I am a Mars-Venus life and relationship coach, breathwork coach, tarot reader, astrologer, chakra practitioner, and life force compassion practitioner. And today, I have the great pleasure to introduce you to a very talented lady that I got to meet recently. She's from Pakistan, and her name is Gulsana Mansha. Gulsana is an educationalist, motivational speaker, trainer of teachers, environmentalist, and a yogi. So Gulsana is from the Beacon House school system in Lahore in Pakistan. And her aim is to empower the youth of Pakistan and educate them to become responsible citizens so that they can make constructive contributions to improve their lives and build Pakistan in the true sense. Welcome, Gulsana, to Amazing You.
Good evening, Rani. Thank you so very much for such a nice introduction. And yes, it is so good to see you. And thank you so very much for having me on your show. We had been communicating for a few days.
Yes.
And finally, after a long wait, I think this is the beauty of the meeting, that we are together today.
Thank you so very much
for having me.
You are most welcome. I was really looking forward to talking to you. When I saw you the first time, I say, this is a lady I need to know more about. She seems so interesting. I listen and I say, you need to be on my podcast and my YouTube channel. So thank you for your time. I know you are very busy for all the things you've been telling me that you do. So exciting for you. Let us dive in, if you are ready, into the first question.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So please tell us more about your background and the journey that led you, Gulsana, to become an educationalist, motivational speaker, and environmentalist.
Well, Rani, the story began of this educationist named Gulsana Mansha when she was 18.6.
Right.
And it was right after my graduation when I was done with my examination. And here in Pakistan in those days, the systems were a bit shabby. And we had to wait for a year, around 11 to 12 months, to get seek admissions into the universities to do our MSs. So I never wanted to sit free because from a very young age, I had that knack for working, knack for, you know, exploring and learning. So I was a learner and I wanted to learn more about life, about society and how societies grow, how humans grow. So this, this search of mine, this eagerness of mine, this curiosity of mine, basically led me into a school. And I never wanted to be an educationist but now I realize that I was an educationist from a very young age because my mother had brought us up. And before my mother, I think I was very lucky that my early school years were from St. Mary's Convent, Malta. And I got my bringing up in the hands of nuns. Okay. You know, the Roman nuns.
Right. Yes, and I can relate to that, Gulsana, because
yes.
I went to a Catholic school run by the nuns, by the Irish
yes.
nuns.
And, you know, they make you the educationists from right a very young age.
Yeah.
They train you They train your character. They train your daily routines. And they make you live a complete life, even without your parents. So you're a complete human being, even when the parents are not around. And I was hostelized. So, but at the age of 19, I got into a school. And more than that, I think I got into the hands of a very, very competent mentor, Miss Majibi Yusuf. And I was a fresh graduate, raw girl who had never been into a profession, who didn't know that what is profession. And I went to her for this job thing. And she said, Gulsana, well, I'm going to train you for 3 to 4 weeks. Do you have the patience to stay with me? Mm-hmm. And after that training, if I'll see that, yes, you've really picked me good, then I'm going to keep you and I'm going to confirm you for this job. And I was like, learning? Well, I'm on for it. And I said, immediately, I said yes to her. And Rani, it's from there that she groomed me like from a little larva to a beautiful butterfly, to the, from that ugly duckling to the beautiful swan who could fly on her own elegantly and beautifully. And she taught me how to sit. She taught me how to stand with the correct posture. She taught me how to speak. She taught me the hand gestures. She taught me the handwritings, you know, alphabets and digits and Urdu alphabets. And I was like, oh my God. She corrected my handwriting. Look at the age of 19, as if I was a nursery student, and many, many more things. And teaching strategies, the way she taught me how you have to become a child with a child. You have to bring your mind to the level of the child. And then I was in the classes and we used to sing and the training went on. And after a month, she said, yes, Gulsana, it's a yes to you. Are you ready? And that's when I took off professionally for the very first time. And 1 year I worked with her and it was a marvelous experience. I think maximum of my learning comes from that year, from that lady, Miss Majibi Yusuf. What an inspiration she was. Then, Rani, I took a break because I had to complete my master's in English literature.
Yes.
And that was another experience, which I'd call it out of the world. Because I'd never studied life before I studied literature. Literature, you know, I was studying Greek mythologies. I was studying Roman cultures. I was studying Christianity. I was studying all kinds of, you know, cultures and literatures and British culture and the authors from Britain, from US, the Oxford people. So I explored the entire world when I was doing my master's in English literature. And I think it's there when I thought that I have to be an educationist. I have to deal with the education of people. I have to educate people. Because I was learning not books. I was learning life. I had learned life. And then after my master's, I got married.
Okay.
Tragically, I got married at such young age because my father was very sick. And you know, the Asian parents, they're like, that they want to, you know, just get over with their responsibility.
Yes.
And I had to say yes to him after so many discussions, and I tried to convince him, but unfortunately, I couldn't. And then, right after my marriage, I had a son. And when my son was 1.5, and that was the time I thought, now it's the right time to resume.
Okay.
And then I joined Salamat School System, SciCast these days it is called. and I got into the hands of a visionary. And there she explored me that I was a speaker right after my joining, after a week hardly. My principal called me and she says, we are hosting, we are conducting a program and you're going to be the host.
Okay.
Excuse me. Do you think this is the right time to launch me? And this is the right time to put me, in front of your parents? And she says, yes, I know what I'm doing. And that was the first time in school. Yes, I had been taking part in competitions and debates.
Yes.
But at that time, I thought it was the girlish activity that I was doing. Mm. But here I realize. And then, Rani, it was again a learning experience. And the beauty of my journey, what I think is the most beautiful thing, that I started my career as a nursery teacher. And then I got into the KG class. Then I was promoted into grade 2, from grade 2 to grade 3, and then 4. And step by step, I never went into elevators. I never took those big leaps because I never believed in them. I wanted to take those stairs to reach my heights.
Yeah.
So one by one, and when I was in grade 4, it had been, I guess, 10 years. And then I was given, since I was an artist by nature, and my director of the school and the principal of the school, they had recognized the talent in me, and they made me the event manager of our schools, 7 campuses. I headed the 7 campuses. And there I, along with other programs, I conducted cultural shows.
Okay.
I directed plays with children, with completely professional, you know, in a totally professional way. And then I was moving on. And there came a time when I became the curriculum team member.
Right.
And because when you're in the field of education, I believe that you should know all the 4 sides.
Yes.
North, west, east, south. I had to explore all the 4 sides of academia. And I went into the curriculum team at the head office. And I designed the guidebooks for the teachers, the guidelines for the teachers, how to teach this book, with what strategy? And there I realized that, oh my God, I need to be a trainer of teachers now.
Okay.
Because if I've designed a book for them, now I need to tell them how to execute this. And suddenly my director found out that I was not a typical trainer. I was just not into strategies. I was just not into methodologies of how to do comprehension, how to do, you know, this essay writing thingy, how to improve the writing skills or speaking skills and listening skills. I taught my teachers how to teach life through these books, how to teach mannerism of life, how to teach ethics and etiquettes of life, how to groom and shape the human canvases.
Yes.
So I trained my teachers. And first of all, and before that, I took my training again. Oh my God, you must have heard his name. I don't know. Been to England so many times. Mr. Abbas Hussain.
Okay.
From Pakistan. Yes.
Right.
He is my trainer when it comes to training. I took the training of teachers. And he comes to Lahore for a very short time. And whenever he used to come, I was the first one to opt in. No, I have to attend sir's workshops and all that. And then he was again. Rani, I had been very lucky when it comes to mentors. I got excellent mentors.
Yeah.
And after getting the training from to train teachers, I requested my principal, the director, that from the head office, I would now like to be in the field.
Okay.
Let me take over the stage now. And then I was in this campus as the vice principal and the trainer. And now I thought that I was ready because I had traveled my journey step by step, experiencing, exploring all age groups, all grade levels, all academic levels.
Yeah.
I had seen them with my own eyes. I'd experienced them with my own, you know, hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I was ready to take off. And that's where I took over the campus as the head. And from there, it was 5-6 years back that I had to resign from the job due to my personal reasons. It was my mother's illness. And she had nobody else except me to take care of her. And I resigned from the job, which I till date regret that I shouldn't have. But then, I got into a very big school system.
You call the Beacon House school system?
School systems, yes.
Can you tell us more about that?
Go yes.
Yeah.
And then I suddenly one day, the principal of Defense Ring Road campus, she came to know that Mrs. Salamat Gulsana Mansha is not in SciCast anymore. And she tried communicating with me, but I was busy those days with my mom.
Right.
But then she said, Manika Kine, Abhi, you have to join. And then I thought that mom was now stable. And I think I had arranged a full-time nurse for her. And I was ready to join. But here, Rani, I joined this campus with a totally changed mindset. Because until now, I had discovered that Pakistan have countless principals.
Mm-hmm.
They can get countless managements.
Yes.
But we are short of good teachers.
Right.
And I just talked to my own self first, that Gulsana, you're going back to the field, not as a principal, not as a coordinator, but as a facilitator of the youth.
Mm.
Let's work with the youth now. I'm done enough with adults.
Okay.
Now it's time to work with the youth of Pakistan.
Yes.
So I totally dedicated myself with my willing will. And I have no regrets about it.
Mm.
And I proudly tell people that I am a teacher.
Mm.
Yes, I am. And I own my designation as a teacher, my profession as a teacher,
mm.
my responsibilities as a facilitator. Yes, I am. And it's been now 5 years.
Okay.
I'm with the pre-O-levels and O-level students.
Okay.
And I am teaching them life. I'm teaching them life.
Wow, that is beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you, Gulsana.
And when it comes to environment and motivational speaking, Rani, I discovered myself when I became a teacher,
yes.
that I was not a conventional teacher. I was not into, if even I was doing a comprehension passage, I had to bring out life.
Yes.
I had to bring in life into the classroom, and I had to bring out life from this comprehension passage, from this book, from this writing topic.
Mm.
So I was more into personal stories of children. I was more into my personal real life experiences, and I used to share it with them and make them learn to become beautiful humans, groomed humans, learned humans. And when I used to conduct these classes with pre-O-levels, my students started suddenly telling me that, Ms. Gulsana, when I'm attending, we are attending your sessions. We don't know if we are good literature students or not. But one thing is for sure, that we feel motivated. We feel like, working towards our goals. We feel like living a healthy life. So then I thought that I can integrate my teaching with motivational speaking. Yes. Because, Rani, if you look, if we go into the core of teaching and motivational speaking, the seed is to educate.
Yes.
That's the core reality. A motivational speaker is also educating.
Yes.
He's also trying to bring a change, shaping humans, shaping humanity. And when it comes to teaching and facilitation, it's all about facilitating humans and shaping humans. And that's, for me, that is education. These books and exams, these are not, for me, it is not education.
It is
I
not.
Don't, yeah, it is not.
Yeah.
This farm isn't just any farm. It grows for Juice Plus. Juice Plus is farm-to-capsule nutrition made from 30 different non-GMO fruits, vegetables, and berries. Harvested at peak goodness to make nutrient-rich plant powders in convenient capsules. Clinically proven for over 20 years to support your wellness. And makes it easy to help bridge the gap between what you should eat and do eat. Fruits and vegetables are always on the table with Juice Plus. Juice Plus. Goodness is our natural state.
Yes. Thank you, Gulsana. And my other question to you is, as a motivational speaker, could you please share with the audience an inspirational message or story that has had a significant impact on your audience and why it is important for the young people today to hear such message that you have for them?
Okay, Rani, when I look at the youth, when I look at girls and boys,
yes,
aging 12 onwards, 12, 13, 14, and then to their teens, and from their teens to, you know, then moron.
Yes.
I see that we as parents are making a very, very big mistake by making our students, by making our own children at home. The first institute is a child's home.
Yes.
And the first facilitator is the mom and dad.
Yeah.
It's nobody else. And the mistake we are making from a very young age, we make our children dependent on us.
Mm.
And what are we doing? We are making their beds. We are setting the tables for them.
Mm.
We are ironing their clothes. We are doing each and every chore, thinking that I'll be considered a very good mom if I'm doing this.
Yes.
But I think moms need to change this ideology to a 360 degree angle, where I'm going to turn everything upside down. Right in the beginning of my talk, I told you,
yes,
that I feel very lucky that I got my brought up from the Roman nuns. Because at the age of 4, I knew how to fold my clothes. I knew how to take a bath.
Wow.
I knew how to organize my wardrobe. I was not allowed to get out of my bed, get out of my room in the hostel without making my bed. And if I, as a 4-year child, and then in that hostel, I still remember, they used to teach and they taught us how to do the dishes. And after our lunch and dinners, each and every child, no matter what age you were, you were doing your own dishes yourself. You were making your own beds yourself. And we were taught each and everything. And here in Asia, what I feel is that moms, when they start the training,
yes,
they do it on very wrong lines. And this is very incorrect. And I think I also did the same with my children.
Right. I think it's not only in the,
yes,
Asian world. I think it's everywhere, west, east. I've seen parents doing so much for their children. Yes.
Yes.
Not allowing the children to take responsibility for their lives a bit. Yeah.
Yes. And the story that I would like to tell you is my own story.
Yes.
And I proudly relate that story many places. Mm. And Rani, it was around six years back, mm-hmm. when I went through a traumatic, chronic depression.
Okay.
Something was, everything was changing, undergoing a drastic change in my life. Mm-hmm. And no matter, I had been a very strong person throughout my life, a very active person, mm-hmm. a very healthy thinker. But, you know, there comes times when you can't stand things, when you can't make it. And it was the time when I couldn't make it. I was straight to bed, straight on bed. And I have three children. And there came a time, Rani, when I thought that maybe any moment I'm going to commit suicide. Mm. And my children, they were my youngest daughter. At that time, she was 13. The middle one, 14.
Right.
And my son, he was 17, 18. Yeah. And the kind of training I had done was the typical Asian mother's training. Mm. And one day, my youngest daughter, she's very sensitive. I was locked into my bedroom. And I was screaming. Mm. I was in pain. Mental pain, physical pain. And I was screaming, and she was sitting outside the bedroom's door on the floor. Mm-hmm. And scared.
Right, yes.
And then she just knocked the door. She came to me, she hugged me, mm-hmm. and she played a movie for me. And the movie's name was Pihu. It's an Indian movie. And the theme of the movie was where a mom, and she, I don't know, she could sense it, mm-hmm. that my mother would commit suicide. And it's when she showed me the movie, I realized that my children were understanding each and everything I was going through.
Yes.
And she showed me a movie where the mother commits suicide.
Right.
And there was a child left behind. And what that child went through, that was an eye-opener for me.
Okay.
And there was this dialogue when that little child, through the dead body of the mom, mm-hmm. the little girl doesn't even know that the mom is dead. Mm-hmm. And she says, Mom, what will Pihu do without you? Mm. And she was all messed up with poop. Because the mother had been dead for the last 24 hours.
Right.
She was trying to get hold of her feeder. Mm. She was hungry. And then Rani, one day, I just lied down on bed and I talked to myself, the what if I die someday? Mm-hmm. If not out of suicide, if out of natural death,
yes.
Have I equipped my children? Mm. Have I made my children independent enough that they can survive without me? Mm. And Rani, the answer was no. Rani, that day, I just pulled myself together. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That Kulsana Mansha, you cannot do this to your children. Mm. You've no right to do this to these three lives. And you've no right to do this to yourself.
Yeah.
And since I was a counselor as well, I self-counseled myself. Mm. And Rani, I came back to life.
Wow. That is such an inspiring story, because today,
yeah.
listening and watching this podcast, I know there are so many people who are facing some tough times, who are going through depression like you've been.
Yes.
Who want to commit suicide like you wanted to.
Yes.
So and what would you like to tell them today?
Okay, now.
Gulsana.
Then I started not only working on me.
Yes.
I learned from that experience that I have brought up my kids not the way they should have been brought up. Mm. I taught my daughters and my son how to cook.
Okay.
I taught them how to do dishes. I taught them to clean the house. Mm. I taught them, and then I taught them how to do groceries. I taught them money management. Mm. I taught them each and every skill that they needed to live a prosperous and pleasant, happy, successful life.
Yeah.
And then, Rani, after 2 years, I realized that, oh my God, I'm still missing on something.
Okay.
That all these groceries, this house rent, this car fuel, everything is gonna be earned with money. Mm. And oh my God, I've not taught them how to earn money.
Right.
They need to make money.
Yes.
And then I just asked them that look around for work around you. Mm. And they were like, Mom, what would people say? Hell with people.
Yeah.
I need to train you to earn money. And my youngest was working. My middle one was working. Mm. My son, my eldest one was working. And every one of us, and I was just telling them, guiding them, making, creating opportunities for them.
Yes.
Where I could create opportunities for them. And Rani, hardly 4 weeks back, my son comes very late from his work. And when he came back from his work, I was in my bedroom. Mm. And I don't know. I was deep in sleep.
Okay.
Very deep in sleep. And when my son knocked my bedroom, I didn't respond. He just peeked inside. And I don't know, that day, I was just covering myself with a white comforter.
Right.
All white on me.
Okay.
And I was lying straight. And I never lie straight. Mm. I'm always lying sidewise.
Right.
I don't know. It was the moment when I think again I had to ask myself the question that I asked myself 5 years back. Mm. And for a few seconds, Rani, my son thought I was dead.
Okay.
He got so scared. Mm. He just held my shoulder slightly, Mom. And I was like, gee, beta. And he got really angry. He pulled out that white comforter off my body. And he says, don't you dare do this to me next time. And I could feel his fear. Mm. I could sense it. And after that, he immediately went into my wardrobe, brought out the colored comforter. He said, I'm going to throw this white comforter of yours. Never do this again. Mega, you thought I were dead? He said, oh, come on, don't talk rubbish. And he said, no. He went his back. Then we talked for a while. And then he went to his bedroom. Rani, he went to sleep. But that night, again, I repeated the same question to myself. Gulsana, natural death is inevitable. Mm. What if what your son was dreading had turned out to be right? And now, if you were dead, are you gonna dead comfortably? And the answer was yes.
Mm. Wow.
It would not make any difference now. Mm. If I'm with my kids.
Yes.
And if I'm not, they are earning.
Yeah.
They are taking care of the house. They are taking care of their professions. Mm-hmm. They are taking care of their studies simultaneously.
Yeah.
I've made them all-rounders, if not toppers. Mm-hmm. They are all-rounders. So the message to my listeners.
Yes.
To the parents, please. Dependency is slavery for me. And to the youth, don't feel ashamed cleaning your own house. Don't feel ashamed doing your own dishes. Take ownership of your own things around you.
Yes.
And become, if not toppers, if not successors, be the contributors and become all-rounders. Become multitaskers.
Yes. That is a great message, Gulsana. Thank you so much, because everybody needs to hear that. I need to hear that. And everybody who is listening and watching, we need to take ownership, because this is our life and we are the one. We are the captain of our ship. So we need to take responsibility and not rely on others and depend on others. We can depend a bit on others, but we have to know when to take the responsibility of our life. We need each other, but we have to take responsibility to do the things that we want to do in our life. Thank you, Gulsana. And before my last question to you, what would you tell us, what book or books impacted you the most and why?
Rani, it's a Pakistani author.
Okay.
Shakespeare, basically. Shakespeare overall. When I was a literature student, Shakespeare and Shakespeare's Macbeth.
Okay.
Yeah. But after that, the game changer was a book named Pire Kamil, Umaira Ahmed, one of Pakistani's author.
Okay.
And it was the very first time I had gone through Urdu literature. Mm-hmm. But this book taught me something very different. And from that educationist, I think after that, I became a humanitarian.
Mm. Right.
I learned humanity. And then I read a few more books. Meri Zaat Zarrai Benishan. Then Hum Kahan Ke Sachche The. Many, many books. And all the themes, basically, this book took me to the discovery of two very important creatures in this universe.
Okay.
One, the creator of this universe. And I went on my journey to discover him.
Right.
And then I went on, I just took a leap towards the, pathway where I could read humans. Mm-hmm. And it was since that day, I stopped reading books. And I started believing in human libraries.
Yes.
So from the books, I shifted my focus to humans. And I started reading humans as books. That book basically taught me humanity.
Yeah.
And I discovered that I've not done anything till yet. Mm. I think I was 28. At that time, 28, 29 years of age. Mm-hmm. And after reading that book, I just wanted to find God. I just wanted to know him. I just wanted to know his universe. So from the books, I took a shift and started taking my learnings, observations, from the universe, from the sun, from the moon, from the trees. Mm. And I became a friend to nature.
Yeah.
I made nature my friend. Mm. And I discovered that it is not good to go towards chemical emotions, chemical products, chemical fertilizers. Mm. I need to move towards organic behaviors.
Yes.
I need to go towards organic emotions. I need to go towards organic mental health.
Yeah.
And organic products. I need to improve my you know that Eat, Pray and Love, the movie?
Yes, yes.
So it was the same kind of journey. Mm. And after so many years, Rani, 20 years of marriage, I decided that I'm going to end it.
Okay.
I ended my marriage because I learned that relationships based on sacrifice, relationships based on compulsions, mm. they are not relationships.
Yeah.
It is simple, simple manipulation of such a beautiful emotion called love. So I never wanted to manipulate that emotion.
Mm.
If love was there, it is there.
Yes.
But then I had to see, I had to uncage my life partner. Mm. And I never wanted him to live with me just because we had three kids.
Mm.
So I learned that was another learning about relationships, about God, about life, and about organic living,
mm-hmm.
psychologically, physically, and, you know, in my eatables. So there was a total change that I thought that I went through. And I became an environmentalist there. Because I started, you know, respecting each and every gift that God had given us mm-hmm. in the form of trees, soil, water, air. Everything was a treasure to me then. And earlier, I had never realized that this habitat of mine called Earth is full of treasures for me.
Yes.
Everything is a treat for me. And I had never even bothered thinking about it. And then I started taking care of the environment with humanity, with love. And then all my love was the other way around. I learned the real meaning of love, the real meaning of friendship.
Yes.
The real meaning of relationship with God, with humans.
Yes. Wow.
So yes, that book was
life-changing.
Lifesaver, I'd call it. It was a lifesaver.
Wow.
Because if I had been living the same way, I wouldn't have been, if I analyze myself as a human, I think I have earned humanity,
yeah.
if nothing else. If nothing else.
Yes.
So, yes.
That is beautiful. Thank you for sharing your story, your experiences, Gulsana. And one last question, how can people reach out to you, Gulsana, if they want to know more about, because we haven't had time to talk about the cosmetic products that you do, and how can people reach out to you about your beautiful paintings that you do? So how can people contact you if they want to know more about you and to speak to you?
Actually, Rani, I've shared my FB page,
yes.
Instagram page with you, and my email address with you. So they can mail me, and if they want to have live sessions the way you had, yes, I am. I would be just a call away. We'll schedule it. And if they want to talk to me, we can maybe have these talks on Zoom or Skype or StreamYard, however they feel like. But yes, Messenger and FB and then Instagram messaging. That's the best thing I think they can do. So
this is wonderful. So your link will appear below so people can reach out to you.
And, thank you.
And I would say big, big thank you, Gulsana, for taking your time today to share your beautiful journey. And I hope this is going to inspire the parents and the students and everybody who is listening, watching. And I would say Thank you to the audience for watching, listening, subscribing, and sharing. And a big thank you to Gulsana. I wish you the very best, a lot of success moving ahead in your new life and doing all the things that you want to do. Thank you,
Gulsana. Thank you. Thank you, Rani. Same to you. And stay blessed. Thank it was you. Wonderful, wonderful talking to you, meeting you. And I think you're one human out of a few who are going to stay with me, inshallah.
Oh, thank you so much. You are as well. You have made a huge impact in coming to the podcast and in listening to you. I am really grateful and thankful to you. Thank you, Gulsana. Thank you. Thank you.
And good night.
Lots of blessings to you and to the audience. Bye. Bye-bye.